Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a real informative hour for you today. My guest is Stephanie Alexander, and she has done something that I think a few people have tried to do, but I don't know that anyone has come close to accomplishing what she has. Stephanie is the founder and CEO of a phenomenal website called WomanSavers.com. And ladies, if you have a pad of paper and a pen, write it down, because we're going to be talking to you about what her particular objective is and learn about this phenomenal website that is having a big impact. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Stephanie, you and I had a chance to talk for just a few minutes earlier today, and you had some absolutely wonderful, wonderful news that you were sharing. Tell us what has evolved recently relative to all of this work that you've done so diligently for so many years. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is the media ball is really taking off now, and Fox flew me to New York to do a morning talk show called The Mike and Juliet Morning Show, and I went up against a woman named Judith Brandt, who wrote a book called The 50-Mile Rule, and it teaches people how to cheat and have affairs more discreetly and better, and I went against her.
Holy Moses!
Whoa. Yeah.
Boy, was that a setup of setups. They expected the sparks to be flying on that one.
Yes.
Wow, that is incredible. And so were you on for a full hour with that?
No. The show is, I think it runs a half hour every morning.
Uh-huh.
And they have various guests, and they had a psychologist that was supposed to analyze the situation, and it got kind of out of control. Actually, the audience started booing her, and the hostess of the show, Juliet, got in an argument with her.
Because, that makes for great. Debate.
Because apparently the author, she is divorced, is currently having an affair, and has been for the past 7 years, and feels no guilt or remorse because the affair is both meeting her needs and also the man she's having an affair with, who's married. So,
well, to each their own. And on television, as you know, with so many of these shows, it's the shock value.
Yes.
It's really not necessarily giving out good information, but it's what can we shock the world with today, because that's what they think they're supposed to do.
Well, it definitely shocked the audience.
I can imagine, and I can imagine that was sort of a thumbs up for you, because Woman Savers is a very special program and format that you have worked on for a number of years, and I have to compliment you because your site is just absolutely exceptional. You have written a book, Sex, Lies, and the Internet, and of course, in today's world, electronic communication is the hot stuff. What got you started in this? I mean, why did you feel like it was so important for you to do this, Stephanie?
I started Woman Savers, and that's spelled with an A-N, not an E-N, for those of you listening that are typing in Women Savers, back in 2002, in late 2002, after getting out of a bad relationship myself. And everywhere I turned, there were women who were telling me stories about how they were either cheated on or lied to, abused. Even family members were telling me about situations and bad dates and things like that. And I'm very good with computers and search engine optimization. So I thought to myself, you know, wouldn't it be great if I created a database that where women could network together to bring the good guys to the top and the bad guys to the bottom as a tool to pre-screen your dates?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you started this when?
Late 2002.
Late 2002. So here you are, 5 years later, and people are coming to know more and more about you. Of course, I met you earlier this year at the National Publicity Summit and knew immediately this was something that I wanted my listeners to know more about, since a good three-quarters of my listeners are women. Stephanie, with this information that you have been able to get together, and you've got all kinds of data on your website, you have done, for example, the asking of questions of people, of women that come to your site. And these, some of these I found very interesting, because I brought this up in an interview with someone just a short time ago. You asked the question, do you run a background check or Google a person's name before dating?
Mm-hmm.
What were the results on that?
Last I looked, it was a little over 50%. That is an ongoing poll that I have going, and I have a series of polls that over 300,000 women have answered, and people are really doing a lot of Googling nowadays, and as soon as somebody finds out a first and last name, I recommend Googling the name to see what's out there.
That is an excellent idea. There was something that was on a television newscast that I just happened to flip the television control just to get it, and it was about someone that already had a police record of violence and assaulting women, this type of thing, and had been caught. Actually, I think served a little bit of jail time, the little bit of information I was able to see. And then he was actively out trying to find someone else and was interacting on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's common.
Yes, and that is something I'm going, my gracious. So if someone does want to do a background check, that was a question I presented to a guest not too long ago. What about background checks? And they say, well, you shouldn't be too concerned in the beginning, but you come from a different positioning on that. You feel that you really should check on things. And why is that so important when it comes to the personals, if you will, on the Internet? What are some of the red flags that women should watch out for?
Well, I think you're being naive by not doing a background check on somebody. You take the time out to research a home and get it inspected before you buy it, or you take your car to a mechanic before you have it inspected. Why wouldn't you do the same for somebody that you may spend the rest of your life with? It doesn't make any sense not to do some homework.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So a lot of times what's happening now is people are giving out false names when they're dating. And so that's a problem that many women could run into. And also, if somebody has a very common name, like, say, John Smith, and they try to Google that name and, you know, 3,000 names come up.
Mm-hmm.
So what they can do is they can search their local felon registry, which is online, to see if their name is in there. And they can also check the WomanSavers.com database to see if anybody's entered anything about that. And then, what most importantly, they need to ask some key questions early on while they're still emailing back and forth.
What are some of those key questions, Tiff?
Well, they should ask for a cell number and a home number, both, as soon as possible, and a first and last name. If somebody is not comfortable with that, then you need to continue dialogue until you get at least a cell number and a first name. Then you call between the hours of 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. or on Sunday afternoons a couple of times. If that person doesn't answer the phone during those periods of time, you can bet that they are involved with someone or married, because that's the time that you're with your family.
Now, that is something I don't know that many people would have considered, and especially women. And there would be those women that would say, well, why should I do it at that time, and you've just answered that question. And they may say, well, they may just be on a business trip. They may
not always.
Yes, that's true. So let's say the person comes up with a real good excuse, and the individual says, well, my phone is turned off. I don't have it on the weekends because I'm out climbing Mount Rainier, or I'm in the Himalayas, you know, skiing.
Well, every single night their phone's not going to be turned off between 8 and 11 p.m., and if it is, red flag.
Mm-hmm. let's address something you brought up in the beginning. Here you were doing a television show. The woman that was against you was a woman that fully believed in relationships, you know, what we might call adulterous relationships. And you were in the positioning of saying women need to be aware that this is not, if this isn't acceptable to you, because to everyone their own particular standards of life, whatever they might be, but if your standards are that you want to have someone that's going to be committed to you, you want someone that is going to have honesty in their character, integrity, how do you go about being able, again, on the Internet, this is all electronic stuff. Anybody can say anything at all.
Right, and that's why it's really hard to know exactly what types of questions to ask. I talk about that a lot in my book, Sex, Lies, and the Internet. I give step-by-step screening techniques and, you know, how to deal with the first date, meet in a public place, for example. Make sure you tell someone where you're going, or even double date, which is even better. That way you're with somebody and you're safe. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're getting involved with.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good idea. And I think that that's, in a way, that's real good common sense. Because you want people around you to know about the person that you're dating. And I can remember an experience I had many years ago. The person that I was going with didn't want me to bring friends or didn't want me to be in certain environments. And as it turned out, this person was married.
Mm-hmm.
They were in a situation where they didn't want to be seen publicly. They didn't want to have anyone know about me being in their space. Of course, that didn't last all that long, but it was something when I was quite young, it was a lesson to be learned, and no one was around to give me the red flags of whether they're saying this or saying that, you know, pay attention. So you're really giving a very good service to women of all ages, and you have all of these polls that you do, and you did another poll regarding adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting question, because your question was, should adultery be prosecuted in court? Now, in many cultures, there's a very strong positioning about this for women, but not for men.
Right.
What kind of a response did you get from the women that answered this?
I'd say over half answered that they did want it prosecuted in courts.
And what kind of prosecution? Did they say what they would expect in a courtroom?
Well, I don't know if they would expect jail time. They might expect compensation, financial compensation. I know that in Arizona recently, it was resurrected after many years of nobody ever prosecuting for adultery, and two couples that were being lied and cheated on were successful in using this case, and I don't know if they did jail time or not, but I do know that they won the case.
Now, were these couples that were going through a divorce at the same time?
They were both married couples, and two of them had an affair with each other, and their partners found out.
Okay, so this wasn't a divorce proceeding, because often this is brought out in divorce proceedings.
No, this was just a couple having an affair, an adulterous affair, and that was what went to court.
Fascinating. Well, there's all kinds of things that we need to look at and we need to be aware of and we need to be attentive. Now, one of the great services that you have on your website is that you do have listings of those men that have awful backgrounds. I'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you go about getting that? How did you go about making sure that all of that was in place in a way that could be utilized by women? And how many men do you have listed on it?
There are over 20,000 men entered now globally. And I basically am a search engine, and I categorize the information. The authors are in control of everything, and I organize it like a phone book by first and last name, city, state, and country. And so you can search for key terms. For example, if you know somebody's username, say, on Match.com, say he's going by sexy bad boy or something like that, you can actually do a keyword search, and that will go through all of the people's postings to see if something like that comes up also, pseudonyms.
Very good point. So you've got a crossing of terms, words that could be used along with the name.
Yes.
So that makes it something that's quite efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is important. When you are using the Internet, it's not unlike the old-fashioned personals, which still go on in newspapers and magazines and, you know, different organizations and groups. You must be prudent. You have to pay attention. And often people will lie like nobody's business because nobody's in front of them. They're just sitting there with a computer screen, and they put up false pictures. They do all kinds of things. So you have to be attentive to that. Now, with all of this, you made a statement that authors send you this. And when you're saying that, you're talking about individuals that send you information. Do you also have pictures that are sent?
Yes.
So you've got the pictures as well as the other information.
Now, we have very strong terms of agreement, so you have to make sure that you are the copyright owner of the photograph, which means that you took the photograph, either with your camera or with your cell phone or with an old-fashioned camera. You took the photo, so you are the owner.
Uh-huh. Now, that's a significant point.
Mm-hmm.
So then, if they're going to do this, they have to sign an agreement understanding their responsibility.
Yes, and they also have to agree that they're telling the truth. And telling the truth also includes your opinion, which is covered under the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is 100% defense to libel. So if you tell the truth, you're okay. But if you decide to lie, which is a very, very bad idea, or use something like this as revenge, you leave yourself open for a libel lawsuit. So tell the truth.
Very, very good point. And I really like your statement about if you're looking for revenge, don't do this. This is not the place to do it in. Now, you say that there are sites out there that specifically match up committed and married people to have affairs. This goes along with the woman that you were on the air with at Fox. Tell us about some of these sites.
The largest one is called AshleyMadison.com, and Ashley Madison is a guy who makes seven figures and has millions of members and charges a fee for only married or committed people to have affairs safely and seek each other out.
Okay.
And there's many like his. There's Meet to Cheat. I mean, they're all over the place. And my website is like the yin and the yang of that. I'm the opposite, trying to accomplish more honesty and truthfulness, whereas he's profiting off of deceit. And there's huge differences between our sites in that I use the profits to donate to abused women and children's charities, and he takes the profits from the deceit and pockets them.
Mm-hmm.
So I disagree with everything he's doing, and his argument, just like Judith Brandt's, is people are going to cheat, so let's give them a safe way to do it. That is their argument. When monogamy becomes monotony is their slogan.
Now, you have over 300,000 women that have sent you information. What has been the benefit to those women that have gone through abuse, maybe infidelity? What has your website given to them?
My website takes them through to the very end. It teaches them how to recover, how to seek help. It makes them feel like they're not alone because they can go and ask for free medical advice or free advice from a psychotherapist who specializes in abusive and dangerous relationships, or she can post on the message board and get responses from, you know, thousands of women who have experienced the same thing. And it's very important for a woman to understand she's not alone, and there are millions of other women who have gone through the exact same thing, and they can guide you how to get out.
I think that's very important. I think that when you get down to it, it's always your own standards. And in having interacted over the years as a counselor with women that have gone through abuse and have been in very ugly situations, the biggest area they're working on is their own self-esteem. Because so often they're beaten down so badly. It doesn't have to be physically. It can be verbally. But they're beaten down so badly that they can't even think clearly.
They don't even know they're being abused anymore. They don't understand what a normal relationship is and what it's not like. Mm-hmm. I mean, what it's like not to be abused.
Now, you yourself have gone through those experiences. We both know a lot of women that have. What are some of the success stories that have come to you from your having this website online? I mean, 300,000 women, to me, that's a big success kudu right there. But I would like to know about some of the women. Do you have some stories you can share with us?
I have many stories. One of the success stories is a serial bigamist who was married to 7 different women in different states because the marriage records are not interlinked. They are only linked in Florida, Nevada, and Texas. So he was married back east. He was a traveling businessman and chose specific women who had low self-esteem and didn't have the pick of a litter of men.
Mm-hmm.
And they discovered about each other and posted him on the website and found out about each other, wrote a book. And, you know, one of them wrote a book called One of 7 Wives. And that's a success story. And there are many other success stories where women have found out that the person they were with was cheating on them and were finally found out the truth. I did a radio program yesterday morning in Indiana, and they had callers call in, and a lady called in, and she was the mother, and she found her son-in-law in the database.
Whoa!
Yeah. And for some reason, she thought it was funny. And she was like, I can't believe he's in there, but this confirms the fact that he is a cheater. And we already kind of knew that. And, you know, my daughter is now separated from him, but this really confirms the fact what we wanted to know. And there's another one. It just happened yesterday. I get them every day.
Fascinating. So here we are with the Internet. You have anything and everything on the Internet. You have this site. Where do you see womansavers.com going, Stephanie? What's your big dream for this?
I think my big dream is to team up with an open-minded enough dating site that is specifically geared towards women, and they could tie into the screening with my website for access to the database to help women make better, safer, and more informed decisions.
I think that might be a very good alliance to have and a very supportive one, because I think many times in our world today, people have, in some respects, become more isolated from interaction with others, and they use computers so much,
mm-hmm.
which I think sometimes is to their detriment. So if they had something that would be able to give them that sense of awareness and confidence, knowing that it's there to support them and would give them information, that's incredible. Now, you are looking at the big dream. You're looking at that one. In the immediate, what is your biggest project that you're working on with womansavers.com?
I have got my hands so full. I am working on so many projects at one time. In fact, I am doing a satellite feed in a week that's going to air on DirecTV, and that is some major talk show. I can't even remember the name of it. I've got media people calling me constantly. So I think I'm going to branch out into doing some big-time talk shows in the very near future. I was a little shy in the beginning, and now I'm not so shy anymore, and I think I feel more comfortable being in front of a camera now. I have terrible, terrible stage fright and public speaking fear, and usually I go blank and just start stuttering. So I've really worked on that hard.
I don't think you'll have a problem, Stephanie.
I did in the beginning. I couldn't even complete my first radio interview. I could not complete the sentences, and I just was shaking in front of the microwave, just trembling. So I've come a very long way in that aspect, and now I hope to become more comfortable in front of the camera so I can get my message across to larger audiences. And I'm also doing a lot of women's conferences. I'm doing women's leadership conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the California Governor's Convention, where there's about 12,000 women, and I'm going to have exhibit booths where I can speak to these women one-on-one and get more information on what they're looking for also.
Now, your website, sometimes people might ask the question, gee, is what you're doing legal? Because you're putting up this database, you've got over 20,000 men, bad guys that are, well, women need to know about them, and you've got all kinds of things going on. I remember talking with you, and you're saying that you've worked with the police department and have helped authorities sometimes to get the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
How are you protected? How do you protect yourself legally with this? Because some people might say that what you're doing is just absolutely awful and really try to take you to task on it.
Right. There is a section called the Communication Decency Act, Section 230, which basically states a third-party provider is not held liable for what somebody else writes. For example, Google is not liable for everything that they categorize.
Mm-hmm.
A message board owner is not held liable for what other people write on their message board. Things like that. I categorize information. I do not create it. And so the law already protects me. So if somebody were to file suit, it would be a frivolous suit, and it would get thrown out of court.
Well, I think the service that you're providing is an excellent one. For those of you who are listening, Stephanie Alexander is my guest. Go to her website, womansavers.com, W-O-M-A-N, savers.com. If you have a daughter, if you yourself are dating, if you're wanting to learn more about how to go about using the Internet to connect with people, how to check out different groups, so on and so forth. Stephanie has put a lot of information on that site. Not only is it snazzy, it is really well done, but you'll find the information resources there are first class. And Stephanie, people can contact you via your website with
mm-hmm.
any questions or learning about what they need to do if they have some information they want to share. And you are going on the road, it seems like. You're going to be talking. I think doing the women's conferences is great because I think women all over are going to enjoy it. Now, when do you think you're going to be going overseas? Because this is a global situation that you have set up. When do you think you're going to be going to Europe or maybe other places in the world to share what you're doing?
Well, I speak fluent German, and I have a lot of family in Germany. And my father lives in Germany, and he runs a radio station in Munich. And the next time I visit him, I'm going to do more interviews and see if I can branch out a little bit in the Europe area. And I will probably be going to Europe in the next 3 months.
Wow. So you are one traveling lady. Well, you've worked very hard. What you're doing, I think, is a positive statement. It's a statement of help, and it's a statement of insight and information that I think women around the world definitely will benefit from. Stephanie Alexander has been my guest today. Go to her website, ladies, and guys, you may want to go too. Check it out.
They're free to tell their side of the story at any time.
Absolutely, and that's an important point. WomanSavers.com. This is Donna Sebo. Stephanie, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Donna.
It's my pleasure. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. More information. Don't forget, Stephanie Alexander, go to her website, womansavers.com, and her book is Sex, Lies, and the Internet. So you're going to be able to have access to that as well. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. If you would like to give me a call and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the telephone numbers to call in to. In the U.S. of A, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, our direct line of 530-876-3222. If you're a first-time listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so glad you've joined our listening family and the greater picture of bbsradio.com. And just know, when you call in, all I want from you is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I love to know where you are located in the country or in the world. And I'd give that information to you. And then I'll just tell you what I see, and you're welcome to ask me any questions you like. By the way, if you have a special story or something unique that you would like to share with me, email it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Now, I was sent by Debbie a wonderful lesson on life, and it's called Apache Seasons. And this is how it reads. There was an Indian chief who had four sons. He wanted his sons to learn not to judge, not to judge things too quickly. So he sent them each on a quest in turn to go and look at a pear tree that was a great distance away. His first son he sent out in the winter. The second son went in the spring, the third in the summer, and the youngest son was sent to view this tree in the fall. Now, when they had all gone and come back, he then called them together because he wanted them to tell him what they had seen. Well, the first son, who had gone in winter, said, "The pear tree was ugly. It was bent, and it was all twisted." The second son interrupted and said, No, it's absolutely beautiful. It was covered with green buds, and it was so pretty to look at." The third son disagreed with the first two. He said, "When I saw the tree, it was laden with blossoms. It smelled so sweet, and it looked so beautiful. It was one of the most graceful trees he had ever seen." The last son disagreed with all of them. He said, "The pear tree was ripe and drooping with fruit, full of life and full of fulfillment." After he listened to each of his sons, the man explained to them that each of them were right, because they had each seen but only one season in the tree's life. He then said to them, "You cannot judge a tree or a person by only one season, and that the essence of who they are and the pleasure, joy, and love that come from that life can only be measured at the end when all the seasons are up." And then put in, "If you give up when it's winter, you'll miss the promise of your spring, the beauty of your summer, the fulfillment of your fall." Now, what do you think is the moral of this story? As Deb said it, she said, "Don't let the pain of one season destroy the joy of all the rest. Don't judge life by one difficult season. Persevere through the difficult patches, and better times are sure to come. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. Because happiness keeps you sweet, trials keep you strong, Sorrows keep you human. Failures keep you humble. Success keeps you glowing. But only God keeps you going. I want to thank Deb for that because I really think that's wonderful. I want to share something with you relative to that. I've known people who have gone through certain experiences in life, and they carry those experiences, and most of them are negative, for all of their life. And they get on a course of thinking and perception where they label everybody with the same brush. They say, this is what happened. It applies to everybody across the board. I hate everybody. Or everybody's a cheat. Everybody's a liar. Everybody's this, that, or the other. And it's so easy to get stuck in that. If you've ever known anyone with that kind of a disposition, and I can say I've known quite a few people, to get them to shift their thinking is amazing. You know, earlier we were talking with Stephanie about her website and people and relationships and so on and so forth, and it brought to mind that I've known of a couple. They have been married almost 40 years. These are two of the most miserable human beings I have encountered in years. And they act like petty children. They work on each other, and they have done this throughout their entire marriage. And it's so sad. And I look at them, and they're both nice people, and I think, why in the world are you staying together? You're making your life so miserable. Why are you carrying all this old baggage? But you know what I discovered is that they feel like they'd be lost if they didn't do this. They have gotten into such a rut of thinking and doing and being of this particular attitude that when you ask them, well, what if you didn't have to have this anymore? They go, I don't know what you're talking about. They can't switch. They don't know how to switch. The only way you can switch your thinking is by being consciously present with who you are. And if in your life there's something you don't like, then you have to ask yourself, what do I need to change? And I say, direct it towards yourself. Because if you expect somebody else to change because you think they should change, you're in for a lot of disappointment. You need to be able to look at yourself and ask yourself, what do I need to change about me so that this situation would change? Now, everybody in this couple's family says, please, get a divorce. Get lives. Go live in different parts of the country. Do something. Because the whole family is sick and tired of the whole mess. They just ignore them. But they keep going through this game, if you will. They're living that game. What's happened is that it's alienated everyone around them because they do not want to be a participant in the game. There's no sympathies. It's been going on for too long. And I'm sure you can think of people. It can be in working situations. It doesn't have to be a marriage. It can be between certain parties. Sometimes it's neighbors. You know, you think of the McCoys, and I forget what the other group was. But they were at war with each other for years. Why? Because it was something they were supporting. Even though it didn't serve them well, they were supporting it. So lots of times in life, we need to choose. We need to make a choice. Don't waste your life in carrying old baggage. Look at it. If it's not worth anything, get rid of it. Make a life the way you want it to be. Remember, you're the one that's in control of your mind. Nobody else is in control of that but you. And what you put into it, what you choose to nourish it with, is going to make a difference in your life and in the way your life is going to produce results. And that's so important. It's so easy to put blame on someone else or to label something without understanding. And, you know, I can remember doing that. In my life, I can remember thinking, oh, well, so-and-so is doing such-and-such, and I go, boy, oh, boy. We all do it. Why? Because that's how we're often taught. That's often the way social environments are that we're in. We label. We judge immediately. But many times I saw, when I kept my mouth shut and my eyes and ears open, I'd learn about many, many different things. There are people maybe that have been very, very ill, or maybe they've gone through financial difficulties. And learning how to live with grace means that you extend that to other people as well. Take time to find out the facts. I'll never forget one situation I was in, and I was appearing. This was a public appearance. And a gentleman appeared in front of me, and he was coming to me for a reading. And he sat down, and he had this particular demeanor, and I can remember looking at him and saying, "You are a very good actor. You put on a good show." This man was worth millions of dollars, and we talked for a while, and he just chuckled. He said, "You know, you're the only person in the room that was perceptive enough to see certain things." And he said, "I do this deliberately because I want to know how people are going to respond to me." And he told me a story about how he had gone in to buy a new car. This man had so much money, he couldn't possibly spend it a lifetime. And he said he went into this one dealership, and the salesperson, because he was in his grubbies, he looked like he had come off of a cattle farm, and he said, "I didn't dress up for a reason. I wanted to see how they were going to treat me." And he went in, and the salesperson was obnoxious. And inasmuch as he knew the guy that owned the dealership, he walked out, and he let the guy know. He said, "You've lost a sale because of XYZ. He went someplace else. And he rolled out all kinds of cash. He was able to pay cash on the bottom line right then and there when he wanted his car. It was a fascinating story. I asked him then, I said, "What happened to the salesperson?" He said, "He was fired." He said, "It's a hard way to learn a lesson. But the young man needed to learn that sometimes people are busy working people, and they come in and they want to do something, and they want to do it, and they're willing to do it. But how they're dressed doesn't determine the amount of money they've got in their pocket." And that applies in so many levels of life. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 is my phone number here. If you'd like to have me light up your life with a little insight, or Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. You know, Tom Lehrer made a comment about how very much things have changed over the years. And I really appreciated this. He said, "When I was young, there were certain words you couldn't say in front of a girl." He said, "Now you can say them, but you can't say girl." Ah, yes, times have changed. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be going to break in just a moment. However, before we go to break, I do want to let you know who is going to be coming on the show with me tomorrow. We're going to be talking about The Idiot's Guide to Short Meditations. Susan Gregg is going to be sharing some thoughtful points about meditation that I think are really good. And she's just a delightful lady. She's in Hawaii, so we will be traveling via technology to the beautiful islands. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Joe Stepaniak and Vegan Vittles. This is something that if you love vegetables, you are really going to enjoy this. And she has so many delicious recipes. So on Friday, we're going to be talking food. Also, I want to let those of you know, in Northern California, I'm going to be appearing at the Wisdom Festival, which is going to be held the weekend of September 15th and 16th. I'm going to be speaking on mental ecology on Saturday the 15th at 7 in the evening. This is going to be held at the Fort Mason Center. For more information, go to their website, wisdomfestival.com, and you'll find out a lot more details about this wonderful event that's coming up. Again, I will be appearing there as a speaker on the 15th of September, and also will be there on the 16th. I'll have books, and I will also be doing many consultations for people as well. And I am going to be in Alaska in October. I haven't settled it down there whether it's going to be the second or third week of October. Then I'm also going to be traveling to New York City. This is something that has come up just as of yesterday. So I will be giving you further details on those appearances and those locales as we get closer in getting more information regarding all of the details regarding where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing. We're taking a break. We will be back. Give me a buzz, 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's for the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Wow. Are you battling the bulge? Well, I came across some information I thought I would share with you today because you may have an answer that could be provided via the Zodiac about how you can motivate yourself if you want to trim down, and how to deal with the cravings. Now, Maria Shaw, she is the author of Astro Diet, and she said each person, dependent on their sign, responds differently. So I just thought I'd share a few of the tips that she had because I think they're fun. In Aries, if you're in Aries, well, you're full of energy and you're always ready to go, and you do everything fast. And she says you will find results with just about everything you try, and will often give up if you don't. Your biggest craving, if you're born under the sign of Aries, is fast food, and the best kind of a diet for you is an Atkins, because that you'll see quick results. It'll keep you motivated and also help you slow down a little bit. They say that slow eaters lose more weight because it takes 20 minutes after you've started eating for your brain to get the message that your stomach is full. Now, what if you're born under the sign of Taurus? Well, if you tend to use food as a way to make yourself feel better, overindulging is easy whenever you're stressed or upset. What do you crave most? The comfort foods, macaroni and cheese, you know, the kind of spaghetti, the kind of good stuff. Oh, it's wonderful food. Comfort foods, especially desserts and all-you-can-eat buffets. Star strategy for you? Well, try something like a Weight Watchers because it doesn't deprive you of food. You can still eat anything you want as long as you use the point system. And it has to do with portion control. Geminis, you hate to get into ruts, and you often use food as something to occupy yourself, eating when you're not even hungry. Biggest cravings, high-fat, convenience foods like buttery popcorn. Your star strategy, cut everything you eat in half and save it for later. Eat 5 snacks a day instead of 3 meals, and that way your metabolism works at peak efficiency and you're working with your tendency to eat throughout the day. So you're a muncher. It's okay. That's a good suggestion. Cut your portions in half. Cancer. Nurturing cancers are the best cooks of the zodiac. In fact, that's often how you show your love, by whipping up big meals for your family. Your cravings, again, comfort foods that remind you of childhood. I said macaroni and cheese earlier. Well, those kind of comfort foods. Chocolate chip cookies, those kind of goodies. Well, your family doesn't need 3 large meals a day, but if you can't stop cooking that way, stock up on low-fat cookbooks. So changing your style of cooking could help. Leos, you're outgoing and love being the life of the party. You do everything in a big way, and one of your favorite things is going out to restaurants. Biggest cravings? Those sumptuous, luscious, rich, decadent foods. Now, what's your star strategy? Because your appearance is so important to you, simply looking good is your best motivation. Put a picture of yourself at your best weight on your refrigerator, and that'll be a visual, which is what you respond to most. And Virgos, you like to be needed and often help others at your own expense, even if it means skipping meals or not getting enough sleep. Your biggest craving is high-carb foods. Strategy for your star sign is go to bed earlier. You'll avoid peak snacking hours, and a solid night's sleep boosts levels of leptin, which is a hormone that suppresses hunger. Librans, you can be indecisive, and though you have some fabulous ideas, you do have a tendency to procrastinate putting them into action. You also don't like doing things on your own. You feel more comfortable with a partner. Your biggest cravings in food? Foods with refined sugar like cookies and cakes and pies and crepes and all kinds of yum-yums. Okay, your star strategy, diet with a friend. Research shows that people who have support systems like this lose more weight than those who don't. What if you're a Scorpio? Well, you're very strong, intense, and you like to always be in control. For you, it's often feast or famine. There's no in-between. You can easily go without food for an entire day. It doesn't bother you. Now, what's your biggest craving? Foods loaded with cheese, like pizza, high-fat stuff. So don't skip breakfast for your star strategy. Most Scorpios say they don't feel like eating in the morning. That gives them a sense of control. But we know what? When you skip breakfast, it actually tends to make you hungrier later on and puts on the pounds. What if you're a Sagittarius? Well, you have the biggest sweet tooth of the zodiac. Whoa. In fact, you often turn to sugar for a quick boost, which works for a while, but always ends in an energy crash. Now, your biggest craving besides sugar, you love ethnic foods like Chinese and Mexican, and they can have, especially Mexican, depending on how it's fixed, can be really high fat, high carb. Star strategy, eat more protein. Meats and cheeses will give you more energy and dampen your need for sugar. And Capricorns, those cautious and traditional individuals, you love routines and you like to live on a schedule. What do you love? Starchy food. That good old-fashioned bread and potatoes. Yeah, good stuff. Star strategy, take advantage of your love of schedules and set a definite time for each meal. And, you know, when you eat at a regular time each day, you lose more weight than those who eat inconsistently. Listen to your body. Aquarians, hey, you're innovative and creative. You're never afraid to try something new, but you hate restrictions and routine, and you're quick to give them up when you're no longer interested. Cravings that you have, you love sauces and rich salad dressings, blue cheese, etc. You also like your sodas. Now, star strategy, well, they say Weight Watchers is best for you because it allows you to eat any foods you want in moderation so that you don't get bored. And the last sign of the zodiac, those under the sign of Pisces, you're emotional, imaginative, and creative. You live according to your moods and do things, including eating, based on how you feel at the time. Your cravings, according to Maria Shaw, is fried and salty foods. Your star strategy, because willpower isn't your strong suit, you'll do best with a program where you have to check in or weigh in every week or so, which keeps you accountable. It's summertime. So often we're out there and we've got all those delicious goodies that we could eat. So just some tips I thought you might enjoy hearing about. And I know we are just about out of time here. I want to remind you that my guest tomorrow is going to be Susan Gregg. We're going to be talking about the Idiot's Guide to Short Meditations. And meditation does make a difference. It really, really does. And Susan has got a wonderful, wonderful insight into this because so many of us are so busy, we go, how in the world am I going to put any time aside for meditation? I barely have 5 minutes for myself. Well, that's all you might need. So she's got some wonderful ideas, and that's what we are going to be discussing tomorrow. Also, if you think you can cheat on these toll booths, and I started to mention this at another show, and we ran out of time, so what I'm going to do is share this with you. Apparently, there are phantoms that are haunting the nation's toll booths as more and more drivers whiz by without paying. Now, this joyride isn't going to be lasting for very much longer. This month, for the first time, the International Bridge, the Tunnel and Turnpike Association, yes, there's three of them, the International Bridge, Tunnel, and Turnpike Association will meet to discuss ways to fight what they call highway robbery. In Delaware, a half dozen habitual offenders, over $1,000 in violations, face felony charges. And in Florida, where turnpike toll evasion losses hit $22 million, they lost $22 million last year, authorities have added blue lights at plazas to alert police when violators blow through. Now, there's over 5,244 miles of toll roads, that's right, and they say what's handy for honest drivers also appeals to cheaters, some of whom use special sleeves and sprays to hide license plates from toll plaza cameras. Wow. Well, guess what? When someone comes up with one angle, they're going to try to figure out another. So just be aware that is not a good thing to do. Also, here in the state of Washington, we have a new bridge where people are having to pay tolls. It's not something that we're accustomed to here in the state of Washington. And they had, I forget how many people, right now at the top of my head, I can't remember. It was $150,000 in fines in 1 week. 1 week. And they've nailed every single one of them. So they are on the alert. And for those that are thinking they're going to get by with this, be very careful, because it's not such a good idea. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Be safe, be wise, be alert. Know that you're the boss of your world, and you can make it as good as you want and as bright as you want. Do it. You've got what it takes. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, everybody. This is Senior Seaver, and you're listening to Dr. Bell. Well, I forgot to say who I am. Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll keep that, Don. Be sure and keep that in there. I like those improvs. Yeah, go ahead. Especially with a laugh and all that.
Yeah. Who am I? I just forgot.